Okay, welcome Inside Running Podcast, the very first episode. Well, maybe not the very first episode, maybe the episode that explains what's going to happen in the very first episode. My name's Brady Trelfall. I'm going to be one of the three people joining you on this podcast each week. And with me tonight are my co-hosts, Julian Spence and Bradley Croker. How are we going, boys?
Good, thanks, Brady.
Well.
Good, thanks. It's good to hear your voices. People may have heard us on a similar podcast in the past leading up to the Berlin Marathon where we kind of talked a bit of trash with each other leading into that race, but it's good to be back in a bit more of a structured format talking running each week.
Yeah, looking forward to expanding on what we kind of grew last time and maybe a little bit more diverse in our conversations.
Well, that's a perfect lead-in, Julian. Take us through why we're doing this. Brad and I obviously both know, but yeah, maybe just give the listeners some context why we want to put this podcast together.
Yeah. So after the road to Berlin, which is our last podcast finished, I know the other boys did, but I definitely got contacted by heaps of people who were sort of basically congratulating us, not on just on the race, but on the podcast and explaining how they took a lot out of it and they really enjoyed it and they really hoped that we kept going with something. They were sort of relying on their weekly Tell Me Your Tales, well, that's your podcast, and then The Road to Berlin was what they would listen to on another day, and they wanted something more of it. So this is why we're continuing, and I really, like, personally, I really enjoyed it. I felt like I got a lot out of talking to you guys, and I just had a good time.
Yeah, have you got something to add there, Brad, as well?
No, pretty much the same as Julian said. I guess it's just to, I get a lot out of listening to you boys, and I can throw my sort of ideas about training to you and get some feedback. So if I'm getting that benefit from you boys, I'm sure our listeners are getting benefit as well.
Yeah, I think I agree with both those things. And it was obviously kind of like a bit of a counselling session for myself, floating those ideas around about training and even having that accountability, knowing you two boys were training for an event as well and being able to share our training really helped me get out the door on a number of occasions when I could have been a bit soft, but knowing that you two were going out there and knowing that we had to report on it for a podcast was, yeah, really important. And probably that, it sounds a bit corny, but the friendship we developed and the banter we had was really important to me and I think really important to the listeners. And I guess we kind of saw it as a bit of an opportunity to keep doing what we're doing. Obviously not training towards the same marathon, but having a chat, all things running and training and gear and have some guests on. What the format of the show is going to look like was an opportunity we couldn't pass up because we already had that listenership ready to go.
Yeah, and this will be a little bit different. Like, we're obviously going to take a more general approach where we just don't talk about our training, where we do check into some different sort of running topics, like, I guess, maybe looking at some Australian running news, whether there's a big event in the country or whether there's an outstanding performance somewhere or even just random Australian running news. Even if it's small and local, it's still, I really like talking about that stuff. And we're going to try to get guests on every week where we can sort of hit them with some questions that people want answered.
Yeah, and I think going back to, you just mentioned my other podcast, Tell Me Your Tales, I was really happy to get this new one off the ground so I could kind of have a bit more freedom with Tell Me Your Tales and take that in the direction of long interviews and not feeling responsible to cover every single bit of running news that just happens to be coming across and interviewing just runners. So this gives us an opportunity to cover races and travel to races and, get some audio and all those kind of things without on the Tell Me Your Tales platform, which is something I'm really looking forward to and excited about.
Plus you get to talk more, which is your favourite thing, so obviously you're interested.
I say the less out of everyone on these podcasts. I just fire the questions. You know what it's like. I'm actually looking forward to not being the main man on this podcast, though. I'm looking forward to hearing you two boys interview a few guests and our structure is that we're going to take in turns of hosting each week. So obviously I'm in charge this week and then Brad or Julian be next week and they can facilitate the conversation. And yeah, it should be quite interesting to see how you boys go.
Mm.
Silence. Crickets.
Yeah. No, I'm interested too. I'm gonna try to pin down some guests that I think people will be really interested. Maybe just out of the norm. You're always a bit of a groupie fanboy type interviewer. I might get someone and maybe hit them up for some more controversial questions. Maybe
controversial questions. 3.5 minutes in, that's the first dig Julian's had at me. Get ready for another 15 as we go throughout tonight. But Brad, tell us how long these episodes are going to go for each week. What are we thinking?
I reckon about 60 minutes. Yeah, I don't think they need to be sort of any longer than that, because I guess most people's standard run is probably around an hour, so it's often handy to be able to get through one complete podcast rather than have another 20 minutes to go on your next run. So I think probably 60 minutes is a good length.
Get you through your first hour of your long run as well, you know, if you're doing 2 hours, and set you up for a bit of music in the second half on your iPod.
Yeah, if you run with music.
Yeah, well, that's a conversation for maybe another podcast. And the structure, Julian, I kind of touched on it before, and we've had a lot of input, and there's been a lot of planning that's gone on probably for the last, since I got back from Europe, I think, 3.5 weeks we've probably been working on this little project, and a lot of input and feedback has gone into the way we want to structure the podcast each week. So what can you tell the listeners about how it's going to sound every week?
Yeah, well, it will. I think what we didn't want to lose was the informal nature. So there's everyone that I spoke to who listens to multiple podcasts always commented that it was really cool that we were just talking as a conversation. There was nothing really, there was no script or there was no written down questions. It was just a bit of a chin wag between a couple of runners, and that's what was really good about it. So we're not going to try to take it too formal, but to give it some sort of direction, we'll have a few, I guess, segments. Maybe we'll call them segments, where we'll look at each week we'll go through some similar topics, like just small amount of time on what we're doing with our own training. Then I'm going to be sourcing some gear for the boys to review, so they might get a week or 2 weeks with maybe a pair of socks, pair of shoes if they're lucky. Ooh. Mainly socks, I reckon.
I can't just review socks every week.
They don't just give me stuff. I have to really push for this.
I've got a guy's going to hook us up.
I'm happy to review the Vaporflies.
Yeah, I might be able to make some money off you. You might be able to buy some stuff off me to review. I think what will be a really good topic will be the listener question, where someone can like shoot in. How are they going to ask this? This is a good question. We'll get back to that.
We'll set up a bit of social media stuff.
Yeah, we'll get there. Yeah. But they'll ask questions on what they want answered. So do you want to hear a question about a race or some training, location for running? And then we'll do maybe a little bit of a running news section. And there's the runner's rant section, which could be pretty cool given – we've got some strong opinions on different things. So that'll be fun. And then, yeah, we'll have some guests, and one of them will be Liam Adams as he prepares for the Commonwealth Games. And he gives us weekly or maybe fortnightly updates on how his training's coming along.
Yeah, Liam's locked in for every 2 weeks. So 2:12 marathon guy who's looking like he should get selected to go to the 2018 Comm Games. So really good to have him on board for every fortnight, and his input will be pretty valuable. Like if you're a diehard runner, you don't really get that input from guys that fast that often. So really appreciate that he's on board for the journey.
Yeah, definitely.
Very good. The runner's rant, Brad, I think that was your idea, that segment, wasn't it?
Yeah, I know Julian's got a few opinions about things, so it'd be good to hear them. And there's always topics that polarise people in the running community, so we might touch on a few of those from time to time.
If there's going to be a lawsuit against us, it'd be after that segment, I reckon. It could be interesting.
Yeah.
That'd be good. Okay, so there's some people that may have never heard us on the other podcast before that probably need a bit of context about who the three of us are. We've spoken about how we've featured on a podcast leading into the Berlin Marathon, so maybe if I throw it to you two guys and you could just give us a brief description of maybe your running history, some significant wins and some PBs, and maybe just a touch of information about your personal life. Over to you, Brad. Kick us off. Who are you?
Sure. All right. Well, I'm 37, living in Canberra. So I guess I'm the senior citizen out of the three of us. PBs, I guess starting at 1500s, 348, 3K, 814, 5K, 1420, 10K, 2948, half marathon, 66, 50 something, and marathon, 224. So, I guess in terms of significant wins or races that I've enjoyed doing, I've had a couple of top 10 finishes at National Cross. Zatopek, breaking 30 minutes for the first time at Zatopek was probably a pretty special moment. And I guess a cool event that I won was the Prefontaine Memorial 10K in Coos Bay in 2009, which was cool because we're running over one of Pre's sort of training runs in his hometown and got to meet his mum and his sister. So that's a bit about, I guess, my running. Probably more up until maybe 3 years ago, focused more on the track. But, I'd say between now and finishing up sort of my serious running, it'll be focused towards the half and the marathon. Personal life, married, as I said, live in Canberra. Just going back into teaching after sort of 10 years away from it. So that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
I knew he'd tell us about that race over in the States, Julian. Walking to the start line at Berlin, he pulled it out. Here I am about to have a major marathon, and Brad starts talking about that race over in the States. It was a good story, though. Calm me down.
It's the only race he's ever won, so you got to mention.
State? Did you say you're a state champion over 10K? 10K road?
I was the first registered. So I was fourth in the race, but I was the first New South Wales registered runner. So I guess that makes me state champ.
Yeah.
Controversy already. Say that for the runner.
Get on to your rant.
Here we go. Let's listen to Julian describe himself. This could be very interesting here. Go for it, Julian. Who are you?
Runner. Not much else, to be honest. That's what we do. We run. Businessman, own a business in Ballarat called the Running Company Ballarat, where we sell shoes, apparel, accessories. Myself and my partner Bree, we live a pretty simple life, running and working. That's about all we do. Apparently, we'll go on holidays to go running, which, as many running couples know, that's what happens all the time. You pick your holiday based on the running destination. I went to school, went to uni a couple of times throughout my 20s, got a degree in Indonesian and also in food science, but didn't really enjoy that sort of work. So ended up working at a running store and then progressed to owning my own running store. Used to do a lot of labouring for my dad, who's a builder, probably about 5 years as a labourer on building sites before I decided to stop that to try to make running a bit easier. I've won three Great Ocean Road Marathons, which is probably like the biggest thing that I'll do in running, I reckon, because it's pretty hard to win a marathon, let alone three in a row, and I'm really proud of that. And I ran another thing that I feel like is probably one of my better things I've done is the Bogong to Hotham, which is an ultra marathon that runs from Mountain Creek to Mount Hotham, really, up Bogong, then up to Falls Creek and then down and then back up Mount Hotham. So that's a really prestigious race in Australia, and I won it last year and hold the record, which a lot of good guys had a crack at. And then more recently, ran 218 at Berlin. So, that's the last bit.
Jeez, looks good on paper, doesn't it, Brad?
Very good.
Very impressive.
Better than DNF in Berlin, that's for sure.
Yeah, don't worry, we'll talk about Berlin every week. Berlin's not going anywhere.
Good introduction, boys. Good work. My name, Brady Trelfel. I'm a primary school teacher and deputy principal of a small primary school about 20 minutes where I live in Tongala. I live in Echuca-Moama, so on the border of Victoria and New South Wales on the Murray River in a beautiful little community of about 20,000 people. Started running when I was 16 and kind of stuck to the track for a few years and then moved up to the roads. Kind of some versatile PBs, not a standout in anything, but 8.20 for 3K, 14.19 for 5, 30 minutes and 5 seconds for 10K, which hurts, 66.28 for a half, and 2 hours, 20 minutes and 15 seconds for the marathon. Probably the last 3 years have been focused on the marathon and trying to race those, and yeah, getting there, getting better each time I race one, but still finding it hard those last 5 or 6 K. So that's probably been the story of my life the last 3 years. Personal life, partner Carly, a cat called Tom. He's a good cat. Really like, as Julian said, kind of similar, the simple things and being home and in routine. And yeah, this year I took a day off work to kind of concentrate on podcasting and started Tell Me Your Tales podcast, which was a bit of a step out of my comfort zone, but a good step in the right direction, and picked up a bit of a listenership there and kind of met you boys much more through that kind of podcast, and a few opportunities have presented itself, and do a bit of coaching and heavily involved in the community with Parkrun Committee and a ambassador for a few companies in Echuca-Moama. So things are all good in my life, and yeah, just trying to work on getting that marathon personal best quicker than Julian's, which has been unsuccessful in the last 6 months. But yeah, things are good, and looking forward to chatting to you more on this podcast. I think we did an all right job of that, didn't we?
Yeah.
If you really want to know more about it, there's about 30 hours worth of content. If you listen to the old podcast, I think you'll figure out about us pretty quick. So yeah, if that wasn't good enough for you, go back and listen. Favorite races, boys? That'd be a good question just to... Favorite races you're a fan of, or some favorite runners? Just give me a quick answer.
Oh, Zatopek's a good one. You've enjoyed running at Zatopek, haven't you, Julian?
No, but it's not long enough for me.
Can't get a start.
It's for those short distance guys.
Good one, Brad.
My favorite is the Great Ocean Road Marathon, funnily enough.
Just because you win it every time you run it.
Local event, great yeah. Views, good yeah. Prize money. Don't tell anyone that.
Brad, what about any races you like other than Zatopek?
I guess being a Canberra boy, I'll go Canberra times 10K. It's been around for about 40 odd years, and I guess Canberra's had some good runners over the past, so... it's a bit of a who's who on the trophy. So I've been lucky to win that one a couple of times. You got, you know, I think Deke holds the record at 29 minutes. So, yeah, it's a pretty iconic event here in Canberra. So I'll go with that one.
Yeah, good. What about favourite runners? Anyone you're really inspired to be like?
I have a favourite running quote.
Yeah.
It's by Rod Dixon. Rod Dixon. I say it every podcast, but... It's
go on, throw it out.
You've heard it.
Is it champion? Is it champions
running
don't chase?
What's the?
Or is it
no, it's not.
Drink, train hard, and drink beers?
It's all I want to do is train like an animal, and drink beer. All I want to do is drink beer and train like an animal. That's it. Rod Dixon, he won the 83 New York Marathon. He did a lot of things, actually, but that's the photo I have of him in our store, and it's a pretty cool one.
It's a close race, that one. I just started reading about it last night in Fred LeBeau's book.
Yeah, there's a good... He basically wrote a good journal article about it. Like, he posted his journal article. It was really cool, too. And there's a good YouTube video on it.
Yeah. Brad, any lifelong heroes?
No, not really. Like, obviously, a bit of a fascination with Pre, just from reading books and seeing the videos and things like that. An athlete that I had a lot of admiration for, just because he wasn't super talented, but actually managed to do a lot with what he had, was Pete Knoll. Do you guys know Pete, Steeplechaser?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know him. Yeah, like his name.
But you look at him, and he doesn't really look like, he's not your typical sort of runner's build, and wasn't great as a junior, but just like Pat Clohessy coached him, and just through not getting injured and consistency, and managed to, I know, Com Games and World Champs, and run 8:20 something for steeple. So, look up to him. Just goes to show that you don't need to be super naturally talented to actually get to go a fair way in distance running.
That's a good one. My favourite races would be, I don't even have one. I think it's anything when you're running well and have a good experience, that is quite a good experience. And yeah, that's what some of my favourite races have been, races I haven't expected that were big kind of name races, but just races where I performed well. So not one answer for that, but Mona's probably a bit of a favourite runner for me. I got a bit of a man crush on Mona, and still get like sweaty and nervous every time I'm kind of anywhere near him. Just because he's just been that like idol for so long in Australian distance running, and just that ambassador for every single fun run in Australia. And just remember starting out and him dominating like Athletics Victoria races when he was like 40 and still putting on a clinic. So I think he does a really good job of just walking the walk as well as talking the talk, and he's a great ambassador for our sport in Australia. And read his book a couple of times, and amazing athlete that if he was around in this day and age would be just as special. I think his kind of times would still be very competitive, and he'd be winning major marathons. Just wish I was kind of old enough to watch him in his heyday. It would have been amazing to see. Good answer, Brady. If people don't know, Mona puts on Julian's bibs before his major marathon. So,
he's my warm-up boy.
Yeah, just my Julian's mates. I think we did a good job there. Every week we also want to have a bit of a chat about some running news. So this week we've kind of brought one story each to the running news segment. And I think it's when we first started talking about this segment, we weren't really sure if there'd be enough running news to happen each week. But just keeping track of the news the last 2 weeks, quite a lot happens in the week of running. So we've all kind of brought one story each that we think the listeners might get something out of. So Julian, do you want to kick us off first? Tell us a bit of running news.
Well, this is very recent running news. Last night I was streaming the Frankfurt Marathon in German, so I didn't really know what was going on, but I could see faces and I could see times, so I knew they were going really fast. And this one bloke was popped up in front of the German guy that the cameras were focused on, and he was wearing like a local or like an athletics club bib, which I thought was bizarre given that he was running in the top 10 at a major pretty major marathon anyway. And I thought, oh, who's this guy? Like, he's got his local club shirt on, and he wasn't the most graceful looking bloke, but I'm like, geez, I like this guy already. And then I had a look at who he was and where he was from, and he ended up running that night. That was his first marathon, and he ran 2:09:47, I think it was, or 48. His name is Dewey Griffiths, and he was a sheep farmer from Wales. And it was like, that's just the coolest thing I've ever heard of. Sheep farmer, obviously amazing runner, but still works on his parents' sheep farms during lambing season.
Do you know what his other PBs are? Did you look that up?
I think he's run 61:33 5 weeks ago.
Yeah, but he's had a blinding last 2 months. Like, he was, I watched great Northern Run, one of those runs, the half marathon Mo Farah won with the New Zealand guy who lives in Kenya. And he ran like a minute PB that day, and then he went somewhere else and ran another like 90-second PB, and he's just come out of nowhere. Well, not an elite runner, of course, but has just smashed everything out of the park the last 8 weeks and debuted at the perfect time.
Because it was windy too at Frankfurt. It wasn't ideal conditions, so that's a great run.
Yeah, and he did a lot of that on his own after dropping the Polish guy and the German guy. So I'm just wondering how perfect it is, given they named the Commonwealth Games team like a week ago, and this guy's come out and run 2:09 a week later.
Yeah, so take out Mo.
Surely they'll amend it.
Take out Mo's. Like, did he run 2:07 or 2:08 at London like 2 years ago? Take out that marathon time, and this would be the next best quickest, wouldn't it? Like, Hawkins hasn't gone under 2:10 yet, has he? For a UK guy? Yeah.
I don't know what's going on with how they work their team after someone runs it, after the team's named. Like, you just assume he's missed out.
Yeah, more controversy for the Great Britain Commonwealth Games team.
Genevieve Lacaze made the Olympics after qualifying after the date.
Oh, like an hour.
Yeah.
I remember signing that petition when she was just a youngster. Like, yeah, I'll get behind this. I'll get behind it.
Wasn't it like Alan Jones or some guy from TV like really backed it and just got into mainstream media and was on the project, and it was just like there's no way Athletics Australia weren't taking her then.
Yeah, well, they would have been, yeah, foolish.
Good news story though, isn't it? Like, you know, this kind of guy has come out of nowhere, a bit of the underdog status, still works, rocks up in his club singlet, so probably not sponsored by anything big time, and just runs a 2:09.
Yeah, it's awesome. Working class marathon man, that's what he is.
Blue collar,
that's what we like, yeah.
Also, so you give us a rundown on another working class marathon man, Brady.
My news for the week.
Our mate.
Matt Davey, I was about to call him something else, and I always refer to him as Mattress. Matt Mattress Davey went over to Auckland and won, come first place. I think he went out pretty hard early and was in front until the finish line. I think he got challenged pretty late in the race, and it was a bit of a sprint finish, but ran just over 2 hours, 24 minutes to win the Auckland Marathon, which is a massive achievement. Mattress has been running marathons maybe the last 3 or 4 years and kind of been hovering around that 2:24, 2:25, 2:26 kind of time. So being super consistent on a lot quicker courses than Auckland, though. So that run of his is, definitely kind of in 2:22 shape, I think, because you run over the Auckland Bridge and stuff. Like, it's quite a hilly course. So I was stoked to wake up yesterday morning and see a picture of him first thing on Facebook coming across the line with the hair flowing everywhere. He's got quite a nice wig on him, Mattress. And, getting the win, a major marathon win, which is something that I was jogging around tonight talking to a few guys about. Yeah, it's one thing to go to Berlin and kind of chase fast times every year, but winning a race, kind of like you referred to before, just, Julian, about the Great Ocean Road, it must be an amazing feeling, even though you're a couple minutes slower, to be still getting a big win. And I can only imagine the emotions going through Mattress, and he's had a good year. We went head-to-head with him at Albert Park 10K and just passed him in the last couple of 100 metres that day, so he's in good shape. And the plan was for him originally to run Melbourne Marathon, but he caught a cold a couple of weeks out and changed it to Auckland and got over the cold. And, yeah, it's been a good move in the end, so stoked for Mattress.
Yeah, good bloke. Good result.
School teacher.
I reckon he's run a few 2:24s though.
Yeah, 2:24 specialist over there. So hopefully he goes somewhere maybe in the autumn or spring next year and just gets in a huge pack and gets sucked along for a big PB.
Yeah. Yeah.
But now, good bloke. Brad, what about you? What new story you got for the week?
Well, I'm going to take us back to Frankfurt. There's a bit of a connection there with one of the female runners, Brady. So the Ethiopian that finished fourth in Frankfurt, named Ababetch Bekele, we paced her at the Gold Coast, which I guess was featured in one of the Run to Berlin podcasts. And she didn't have a great run because she ran 2:25 in the Gold Coast after us, you know, taking her through halfway in 73. And looks like yesterday she went out in 72 and faded a bit to run 2:26:45. So it looks like she'll be Facebooking us to pace her again, I'd say.
Yeah, I was very disappointed in her when I woke up this morning, actually, because she was Yeah, she was going pretty quick that day, and she kind of wanted us to stick around for the last 7Ks to pace her in, and I thought maybe if we did, we could have got a quicker time out of her, so I was expecting big things in a big major marathon over in Frankfurt from her, so a bit disappointed, but yeah, Brad was trying to give her his phone number the last couple of Ks before he pulled out about pacing her, so maybe that's something she'll regret and address in the future.
Yeah, it goes to show, though, like, her Gold Coast run was really good, like, you know, other than having us, it was pretty much by herself.
So, she's got 2:23 or something PB there, hasn't she?
Yeah, yeah. And I guess we know nothing about a prep for Frankfurt, but yeah. So anyway, I guess it was more about it. She obviously didn't have a good pacemaker yesterday.
Incredible news segment. We knew nothing about her prep, but just slag her off when she doesn't run well. That's good. That's good. All right, that's some good news. And next week we'll sure. Other things happening in the world of running, we'll bring that to the table again. Listener questions. So we'll set up a bit of social media to get some listeners to write in a question each week, and could be something to do with training or races or, I don't know, anything that you think we might be able to put our opinions forward on. Don't hold back. We'll definitely speak our mind. I think if there's one thing that we've done well in the past is be honest and authentic. So that's when we're moving on to that part of the segment now. So, Julian, you are, even though we don't have any listeners yet because we're recording this episode, obviously, before it's gone onto iTunes for the very first time, but you ran with a mate this afternoon and told him about this new podcast project, and he's going to fire us off with the first question.
Well, yeah, I spoke to Dolce tonight. I said, hey, mate, we've got this project. You might have heard of Brady. He's doing a few... done a few podcasts, and he said he's listened to them. So he's always wondered this one question. Brad can answer this as well, but he did mention you in his question, Brady. But he said, you always refer to runners as elite or sub-elite, and then you've got the general punter as well.
I do.
So he wanted to know how you differentiate them. What makes a sub-elite different to an elite? And when do you start becoming a general punter?
Great question. Brad, I might need your help here. I'd say elite guys are... that's your job, isn't it? Like, if you're an elite runner, that's your job. You're probably backed by some major sponsors, so you don't have to work. And you're probably aspiring to be at the Olympics or the Commonwealth Games as... like, that's your be-all and end-all, not... not trying to just sneak into the qualification limits, I guess, which would probably lead into that's what a sub-elite is. I think us three guys would be sub-elite because, you know, Julian's knocked out a Commonwealth Games qualifier last year and, this year for the Commonwealth Games next year. But I think at the end of the day, running doesn't pay the bills for us and we have to get up and go to work. And when things come up in your life, it's often... opportunity, or it often presents itself that you got to shift a run around or cut a run short and get to the other things that come up in life. So I'd probably say that's semi-elite. And then general punters, I think, are probably...
I'm going to call you on that one.
Yeah. Nah, because
Liam Adams, yeah. He works... you've just classed him as a semi-elite.
He is not.
Because he doesn't make money.
Everyone knows I don't think Liam's semi-elite. It just fitted into these rules that you put me on the spot here. Liam would be definitely an elite runner who is chosen to work because there's probably not opportunities to make the money that he needs to make to support himself being an elite runner. Stick to that rule about if you're going to the Olympics or Commonwealth Games, you're elite. Don't worry about the work and stuff from now on. We'll go with that. But then I'd say general punters are probably, because there can be, this is a tough question. It is, because there's people who put in more hours than we do each week who would be general punters, but because of their ability or because of their age or because of their weight or because of whatever the situation, they're not running sub-elite kind of or elite times. I think more of the general punter is people kind of doing it more for a hobby. Maybe I need another category. Can Dolts come up with another category for me? Like general punter. Yeah.
Because I'll jump in.
Yeah, help me out. I'm sinking real quick here, bro.
Yeah.
Pull me out.
I would say that there's a level of person that runs but has a little bit more balance in their life. I'd say that the three of us, which we have already touched on, is that we basically work and run. And that's sort of our focus. And, you know, even our holidays are based around running. Whereas there's other people that run every day, but if they decide to go out with their mates on a Friday night and miss the Saturday run, they're okay with that. Whereas, you know, there's other people like us that will not miss the run. So they're probably a bit more well-rounded.
You're going to categorize it purely on lifestyle rather than times.
Performances. Yep.
Yeah, I mean, Brad, what's your answer to that question, Julian? How do you categorize runners that come in the shop?
Well, that, like, I can call you out on that. Like, no, like, there's plenty of runners who won't miss a single session for a year, but they're like, you certainly wouldn't categorize them as a sub elite if they're running 4 hours for the marathon.
That's why we need that category
in between.
Look, I'm conducting these interviews under the pump. I don't have time to be making up new vocab around running terminology. Like, I've got some of the biggest names in Australian distance running on my podcast. Cut me some slack over adults.
Oh, listen to him.
It's a great question. Maybe it should be in the runner's rant. It should be in the runner's rant section.
Wrong segment.
No, I've enjoyed this. This was the point of this question.
So what's your answer then, Julian?
Come on, wise man.
Well, I don't really, I can't remember using those classifications. So
no, I just use them in my general, like, tell me a tale podcast interviews, I reckon. Like, with Adam Diddick the other day, I said, has he got any tips for the general punters out there?
Which could be anyone. But, like, if we're going to do this, we'll look at the men. We'll just say the men, right? So I've got no issues calling an elite runner someone who runs, I'm going to say, under 220. To me, that's an elite runner.
What about 220.15?
Surely sub 30, 10K.
You are a dog.
There's criteria, though. If you've broken 220 but you haven't broken 30 minutes, you're not quite there.
No. No one really cares about the 10K anymore. It's about the marathon. All right, so we're going to go back. 220 and below will be elite. We're going to say 240 and under, I would say around that, will be called sub-elite. And I'm not going to call them general. I think that's a little patronizing, that term you use there, Brady. So we're going to call them dedicated runners above that.
And then weekend warrior. Have you got weekend warrior in there somewhere?
Yeah, I like weekend warrior because there are plenty.
That's what I probably mean when I say general punter. Like, guys, we're going for three runs a week, enter some fun runs that are coming up, have a crack at them. It's not the end of the world if they don't run well. If they want to go to the pub, they'll skip a run. Yeah.
Good. Like it.
Rightio.
Saved you there.
Note to self, refer to general punters as weekend warriors. So you're the only elite guy on this podcast. Is that what you're saying?
At the moment. Until Liam comes on, then we can have our chat. You can have your chat.
Yeah, rightio. Okay, it's probably a good time to move on from that segment, I reckon, after being thrown under the bus there.
But let's say thanks to Dolce, because that was a great question.
That was a good question. And the minute you started, and I knew it would
load you up, so that was very good.
Yeah. You loaded me up. And it's only going to make me a better person and a better interviewer and all those kind of things going forward. So thank you, Jason. Maybe still filthy. I took him down at that O'Keefe Rail Trail half marathon or whatever it was that day, and he's just get me back. But anyway, all right, let's send this off. Let's finish it up. What's going on this week, fellas? Training wise, race wise, what's happening? Give me an update.
Well, I've got a race this weekend, so I'm going to be running for Victoria in the State of Origin Adventure Race. I'm the trail runner on the adventure race team. It's in Western Australia. Rapid Ascent, the race organizer, is looking after my trip. And same with the bike rider, the paddler, and the swimmer. And we're going to go over there and try to beat the other states. so in an adventure race.
Can you be an elite runner and an adventure racer at the same time, though? Because we're getting in real dangerous territory here.
I can nearly guarantee you
it's no elite the best
adventure racers in the world would make more money than the best runners. Actually, no, maybe not. But there would be more money in adventure racing than there is in running. There is
you've just proved that because you're getting your trip paid for.
Yeah, but you can't compare. What are you saying, Bolton?
You wouldn't get Perth City to Surf paying your way over.
Correct.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Raf said he's paying my way over next year. I'll be there for free.
To run for Victoria?
Yeah, run for myself.
It's a team event. You wouldn't understand that.
Yeah.
I'll
be right.
Anyway, that's what I've got coming up this weekend. Jeez. It's in Augusta. It looks like a beautiful place, and I can't wait to go over.
Yeah. Tell you what, Brad's kind of hard to match that.
Yeah, no races for me. I'm just getting back into some structure after getting back from overseas last week. So it's just two sessions, a midweek long run and a long run on Sunday. So I think some two-minuters tomorrow, 2x6K on Friday, and I think 20 mile on Sunday. But yeah, I guess in terms of big races coming up, not that yours isn't big, Julian, but New York Marathon next weekend.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
This weekend coming, yeah.
True.
That is a big race. Shailene Flanagan will have a blinder. What's the bet? She won't be happy about Jordan Hayso. I'm putting it out there now.
Are there any Australians running?
Not that I know of. Oh, not elite or sub-elite Australian runners, but I'm sure there's some weekend warriors out there having a go, yeah, yes?
And dedicated runners.
Yeah,
we appreciate the downloads.
There is a Ballarat lady, dedicated runner. She's doing it.
What's about your coach?
I
knew you'd drop that in there.
Yeah, well.
Just sneak that in the end.
Online coach.
.com.
What about you, Brady?
Bendigo Half Marathon Sunday. Thinking about I could go down and tempo it. Not quite sure yet. Probably doesn't fit in with the plans. I'm trying to get in this 10K shape to go down to Steigen in about 7 weeks to take on the great man himself and try to go under sub 30 so I qualify as an elite runner. So, we'll see what happens. See how the week pans out. Hopefully back into some pretty serious stuff this week. Kind of been testing the waters the last 2 weeks after a marathon not that long ago and a bit of time off. So feeling fitter every day and, yeah, just trying to string the weeks together at this stage. But, yeah, that's about it. Watch this space, I suppose. Okay.
Yeah.
I think we're all not in the same boat, actually, because we're not all getting flown over to the other side of Australia to represent Victoria. But, hey, when you're a 218 man, you get those kind of opportunities, don't you?
You do.
The phone starts ringing.
Yeah.
What should the listeners expect, fellas? We're thinking we're going to record this early in the week and have it out to them every Friday, correct?
Yeah, I think it works for us conveniently. We're all working men, so hopefully there's no delays on it. We'll try to record it and then pump it out after you work your magic on it.
Yeah, well, the plan is to have it out Friday, so that actually gives us some time to deal with the delays. So if we record Sunday or Monday night, we can cut it together, and especially if we're going to have a few different bits of audio, that's where the time gets taken up with adding Liam or adding some guests. And yeah, it's going to be really good and really exciting. We probably should really do a bit of a shout out just to the listeners out there. Whenever you start any kind of startup project like this, you start from the bottom, and if anyone wants to share on social media or especially give us a review on iTunes, that's how we come up in search engines and stuff. We kind of have worked hard to build the listenership on the other podcast, but we need your help getting this one off the ground. So if you've liked what we've done in the past, and if you're as excited as we are about this new project, if you could spread the word in your circles, that would be really appreciative. Anything else, boys?
Yeah. Happy running.
Julian's happy to take free questions. If you've got a question, just write it to the Running Company Ballarat Facebook page, and he'll answer any training questions you've got. You're in charge of that segment every week. He won't answer them personally. He'll put them through the podcast.
I employ staff for that now.
Yeah, right. Jeez, big deal.
You might get Mona answering them. You never know.
Yeah, that would be a big, yeah, it could be a big one. I'm really excited to hear, I'm actually really excited to hear who you're all going to get on as some little guests. And we probably should just let people know that those interviews that are going to go on the back of this show won't be massive, probably, you know, 25, 20 minutes. And we're all going to rotate the interview role. And it'd be, yeah, I'd be really interested to see how you boys go on the other side of the microphone, actually.
Okay, challenge accepted.
And who you can pull in. It's going to be interesting to see what big names you can get on, or not so big names, but people with some good stories.
Yeah, well, we'll have to do some emailing, see how many managers get back to us.
You'll be right. Righto, boys, love your work. Thanks for putting this together and being on board again. And, yeah, let's just keep at it.
Right on.
On episode one.
No, this is episode zero. It's going to lead into episode one.
Yeah, no, that's why I said bring on episode one.
I thought you said that was episode one. We might have to cut that out. Yeah, we'll be right.
Let's cut that.
Stuffed up in the last 30 seconds. I'm hitting stop.
Doesn't matter if it don't come back. Under the sun.